Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning. Just to be aware that due to the COVID, we have not put any heating on. So if you need to keep your coats on, and I'm already feeling hot and bothered, but it's lovely to see you all here this morning. We realise that there are some people not able to be with us here this morning, but we are going to worship the Lord and thank him for what he has done for each and every one of us. We're going to sing to our opening song, which the band have just played there. Hark, the herald angels sing, glory, glory to the newborn king. And I suggest we keep our masks on whilst we're singing. Ever so sorry about that. Thank you.
I invite you to take your seat as we sing our second carol this morning. It's song number 121 in the Salvation Army songbook, Once in Royal at David City. And as we sing this carol, the four candles on our Advent wreath will be lit for us this morning. It's a very special day today, a birthday. We wish you many happy returns. And your husband's whisking you off. God bless you. Right, well, we hope you have a lovely birthday, a lovely celebration. And as I say, we'll sing Once in Royal David City as you come and light the candles. It's just behind the wreath there. Is that okay? Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
Together. We have to thank God for the gift that he has given so many people to write so many beautiful words. That fourth verse reminded us that he was little, weak and helpless. Tears and smiles like us he knew. And he feeleth for our sadness and he shareth in our gladness. Now as the coronavirus resurges, that's going to have an emotional, mental effect upon us all. And we need to be sensitive to each other and support each other in prayer. But these words remind us that God feeleth whatever you're going through, he understands, wants to support and to help. We're going to sing another song again in the Samson Army Songbook 165. It simply reminds us that from heaven you came, helpless babe. He came in all his vulnerability to share our humanity, to know what it's like to be you in this day and age. On the 19th of December 2021, God identifies with your humanity and my humanity. Our hopes, our joys, our fears and frustrations. He comes in order to bring us back to the Father. Let's enjoy singing together in the attitude of prayer this lovely song, placing ourselves before the throne of God this morning, please. Thank you. We enter the presence of the living God, who took upon himself our flesh. Father God, we want to thank you for the opportunity that you've afforded us this day to gather together with our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as we gather, Father God, we come with many different experiences. We have hopes and dreams, fears and doubts. And I want to thank you that by your Holy Spirit, you can minister to each and every one of us where we are sat just now. Lord, I pray that you might bless us as we've gathered. Bless our brothers and sisters who, for whatever reason, haven't been able to come today. For those, Father God, who are experiencing COVID in these days, Lord, we pray for healing and protection. We pray for the staff of our hospitals and doctor surgeries and those who are administering the vaccine, Father God, that you will bless them and help them. Father God, help us to appreciate the number of months that many of our medical staff have given, the many hours, extra hours, that they have served in order to protect our society. Bless them, we pray. Bless all those who are vulnerable at this time. And give us wisdom, Father God. Father, we don't have all the answers. And Father, we need your guidance and your help as we work things out as they arise. Give us patience, give us prayer for each other, and help us, Father God, as we move forward. Today, Father, I would pray a very special prayer upon those, Joan Chenry. I'd ask you too, Lord, to bless Roz and Andrew Bruce. There are many others, Father God, who are not too well at this time. And we bring them before you and ask you, Father God, to meet their personal needs in the precious name of Jesus. Father God, as we share together, Lord, may your Holy Spirit just touch our hearts and minds. And may we be blessed by the time we shared this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Thought I'd bring a friend along. We're going to YouTube clip Douglas Talks. Douglas is a puppet, but he has a lovely way of telling us about Jesus. And he's going to talk to us just now about the Nativity. Thank you.
Hey guys, it's me, Douglas. And I am here at one of my very most favorite places ever. I'm at Grandma's house. Yeah, we visit my grandma and grandpa quite a bit, but my favorite time to visit them is around Christmas time. Yeah, we help them set up their Christmas tree and set up the decorations, and it's always cold outside, but it's so nice and warm and cozy inside. And everything smells like warm apple cider, and there's Christmas music playing, and there's so much good food, and all our family's here. Oh man, it is so great. I love coming to Grandma's and helping set up the decorations. And this is one of my very favorite decorations. It's called a Nativity set. Yeah, see, it's got all kinds of little figures and a stable for Mary and Joseph and little baby Jesus. And it's been here at Christmas time for as long as I can remember. I always love helping Grandma set it up. And sometimes my little brother Stephen helps too. Although Stephen kind of chewed on Mary's head a few years ago. Yeah, and you know, he only had two teeth. Yeah. Well, also our dog Roscoe kind of tried to eat one of the cows. This thing has been through a lot. But it is seriously my favorite part of all the decorations. I love the tree and all the lights outside in the snow and the fire in the fireplace, but this makes me so happy because it's kind of like taking a little peek at one of the most important and beautiful stories ever told. And it's even a true story. You see, a long time ago, there was a girl named Mary, and she was going to be married to this guy named Joseph. And God told them that Mary was going to have a little baby, and that that baby was God's son, and that they were going to name him Jesus. And Jesus was going to save the people from their sins. And that's what we celebrate on Christmas. Jesus coming to the world to save us from our sins. Jesus is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But Jesus didn't come into the world in quite the way you would expect a king to arrive. No, see, when it was about time for Mary to give birth to Jesus, they were in a town called Bethlehem, the town that Joseph's family was from. And there was nowhere in the whole town for them to stay. But there was an innkeeper who told them that they could stay in his stables with the animals. And so Jesus was born in the stables. And they wrapped him up in cloths and they laid him in a manger for his bed. A manger is like a box that they put animal food in. You don't usually put a baby king in one, or even like a peasant baby. But right after Jesus was born, there were some shepherds in a field nearby watching over their sheep. And then suddenly, there were a ton of angels lighting up the sky all around them. And the shepherds were scared to death. But an angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. I bring good news. Today, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. You will find him wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." And so the shepherds, after they heard that, they got up and they ran to the town to try and find the Savior who had been born. And when they had found him in the stables, they went all throughout the town glorifying God and telling everybody what they had seen. Also, when Jesus was born, there was a new star in the sky, right above Bethlehem, right above where Jesus was. And there were some very wise men far, far off in the east who knew that this star meant that the King of Kings was born. So they followed the star on a long, long journey. And when they had finally found the place where Jesus was, they had gifts for little baby Jesus. And Jesus might have been about 2 years old by the time they got there. And I can never remember all the names of the three gifts that they gave them, but they were the kinds of gifts that you would bring to a king. And so every year we celebrate the coming of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. And the decorations are nice, and the food is yummy, and the presents are cool, and being with family is awesome, but the very best part of Christmas is remembering the amazing gift that God sent us in his son, Jesus. And my goodness, is that worth celebrating. Merry Christmas, guys!
We're going to listen now as the songsters bring their a contribution to our worship this morning. Thank you.
Oh,
For many, when they look at the Christmas story, they talk about Christ had come. They think of something that happened 2,000 years ago, and it has no effect on their lives today. But the songsters have just reminded that the Christ has come. He is still here, and we're able to celebrate the fact that Jesus comes not just 2,000 years ago, but he comes every day. Every day we have the opportunity to worship the living Lord, that Christ has come into the world, but more importantly, he's come into our hearts. And because he's come into our hearts, we can learn how to serve him and be better day by day. Well, we're going to sing another song. This time it's See Him Lying on a Bed of Straw. I like this one. It's the one that it even gets put out into the schools and the children know it. So let's stand and sing this carol. And during the singing of this carol, we'll sing the four verses straight through. But as we get to the end of the carol, I'm going to invite Matthew to come forward right at the end. So let's be upstanding and sing this carol, please. Thank you.
Lying on
on now. Hi. Well, the reason I'd ask Matthew to come forward is because he's very important today. Because he is the only one in Sunday school today. So he is very important today. We have one other child in our congregation. We have Luna in our congregation, but I think she's fast asleep at this moment in time. Yes. Yes. Okay. Okay. But Matthew, if you'd like to come forward, because you need to take this out to Sunday school, because I can't carry this. Can you come and collect this for me? Because today, we're going to use this in Sunday school today. Who likes M&Ms? Yeah. So we're going to use this, Matthew, in Sunday school to tell the Christmas story. So could you like to come forward and collect the flag for me, please? And we're going to use this. And then at the end, we might even come back in and tell these lovely ladies and gentlemen what we've been doing. Is that okay? All right, so if you hold that. Okay, I know it says we are the Reds. Sorry for any Ipswich supporters in the house. Okay, but we are all Reds. Yes, that's right. So we're going to use this to tell the Christmas story today. But first of all, let's just share a prayer over Matthew. And dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for Matthew. We thank you for who he is. We thank you for who his parents are. And all those who help him in his upbringing. And I just pray for all the other boys and girls who aren't able to be with us today. Some of them far from well. Some of them, they're just excited about Christmas. But also, Lord, we just pray. We pray for all our children who are not able to be here. They are all your precious gifts. And as we learn more about the gift of Jesus today in Sunday school, we ask that you will be with us. Amen. Amen. Can you play some appropriate music to send me and Matthew out into Sunday school, please, John? I don't know what he's going to play.
Matthew, don't eat all the M&Ms. Leave some for me, please. Thank you. God bless. We're going to have the announcements just now before we share scripture together. Thank you.
Welcome, Hubert. Welcome. Now, you need to listen very, very carefully. Not that you ever do anything else but that, but today especially. First of all, many of you have been collecting stamps off your older envelopes and bringing them in, and they've been given to one of the Salvation Army's charities, and much appreciated. Now, this is the time of year when you get more letters and cards. If you can save those used stamps, please, and bring them to us, they'll be very useful indeed. Now, I imagine most of you have heard that because of the COVID situation, there'll be no carol service as advertised this evening. So no carol service this evening. But there will be a Zoom prayer meeting at 5:30. And in your newsletter, you have the references how to get onto that. So please, why not join the prayer group? That's at 5:30 on Zoom this evening. Because of the COVID situation, there'll be no crib service on Christmas Eve, and there'll be no Christmas Day service here in the hall. The food bank reopens on the 5th of January, and between then, or now and then, there'll be no activities in the church at all. That includes no meeting for worship on the 26th of December, and no meeting for worship on the 2nd of January. COVID allowing, we hope to return to worship on Sunday, the 9th of January. Now this said, of course, I haven't mentioned the Christmas Day meal. And at the moment, the Christmas Day meal is going ahead. Because there's no activities, there's a lot more space to spread people about. But at the moment, it is on, but if anything happens, the government make new plans, then Jackie and the majors will let people know. So I'm sure you won't remember all that, but I'll probably ask Jim if he can put it out on our core email so you have all those dates. Finally, there's no open air witness this morning because there is a radio station in our place on the Triangle playing loud music, and so we're not able to go there this morning. Thank you very much for listening. God bless you.
Thank you very much indeed. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the book of Isaiah in the Old Testament, And we're turning to chapter 40 and reading the first 11 verses of chapter 40. This is what it says. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, and that she has received from the Lord's hand the double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, and every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All people are like grass, and all their faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows over them. Surely the people are as grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You who bring good news to Zion, go up to the high mountains. You who bring good news to Jerusalem, lift up your voices with a shout. Lift it up. Do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and he rules with might, with a mighty arm. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs to his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those who have young. Amen. There's a lot. This is used often as part of our Advent preparations. Usually it would be the second Sunday in Advent. But in order to understand the context of these words, one just needs to flip back one chapter. There you will discover there's an envoy from Babylon has come to visit the king of Judah. And the closing words of chapter 39 says to Israel, you're going to go into captivity and bondage. And Isaiah leaves it there. He doesn't go into any of the details of the destruction of Jerusalem, the tearing down of the walls, the carrying away of all the educated and influential people from Israel all the way to Babylon, where their names were changed, where they were made eunuchs, where life would never be the same again. So why? Why do we have, at the end of chapter 39, where for Israel everything looks hopeless and despairing, where everything is destroyed and lies in ruins, does then God, through the prophet, say, comfort, comfort my people? I want to suggest to you this morning that God is never about being angry and vindictive and condemning about our shortcomings and our sins. He warns us. He warned Israel time and time again of their neglect of their relationship with their Creator God. He promised them that through them he was going to bless the world. Because they didn't listen, and they went and did their own thing, they ended up being captured, overrun, carried off into slavery, having their experience of life totally transformed, not just because they were taken somewhere else to a different culture, but for those who remained, their homes were in ruins. There was no fine temple, no city walls to protect the people of Israel who remained. See, I think God has given the church the task of carrying out this important task. We have a ministry to comfort people, not to sit in judgment upon their sins. That's God's job. God says, comfort. Comfort my people. Say, you're God. Listen what God in verse 2 says. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem. Proclaim to her that her hard surface has been completed. I want to say this morning, as we celebrate the coming of the Savior of the world, in Jesus, all our sins are paid for. None of us need to feel guilty or ashamed. But we need to hear our God speaking words of comfort and hope to us. Whatever situation you and I find ourselves in, whether as a family or an individual or as a church family, God wants to speak comfort to us, hope to us. He wants us not to be bound by the past, any failings or shortcomings that we may have had or still have, do not prevent God from loving you and me. See, verse 3 goes on to say, a voice of one calling in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. And we know by reference to John the Baptist that these words were words of prophecy, that John would prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah of the world. For again, this speaks of our task as Christians in today's world. The world around us often looks devastated, a wilderness. Where is the Christian faith's influence and power that once it had? We live in a day and age where the way is crooked, where nothing seems to be balanced, where you can fall over. The ground is uneven. The task of the church through Jesus Christ is to straighten the road, to make level the place. For God is saying here, every valley shall be raised up and every mountain and hill made low. Rough ground shall become level and rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. It's the task of the church to make things straight and right and easy for people to move along. How many times have you and I in life been caught out unexpectedly? We've fallen over. We've made a mistake. We find ourselves stuck, not knowing whether to go forward or to go back. God is saying, I want to make the way an easier way. A way that is straight and narrow. A way where your feet can walk that are safe and secure. That you're not walking on rugged ground. That in the world in which you live, people will see the glory of God in your life and in my life. Because God in his holiness has chosen to dwell in your life and my life. See, these are words of hope. God says, speak comfort, speak hope. Make the way as easy as you possibly can. Verse 6 says, a voice cries out, and I say, what shall I cry? We are reminded of the shortness of this life. All people are like grass. I don't know what your lawn at home is like. Earlier in the year, there were flowers. Maybe you've got flowers in your garden now. All I can see is I've had somebody kindly trim the hedges. Yeah, the grass is still green, but there was a point in the summer where it was turning brown because of the lack of water. Life passes so quickly. I believe it was only a few years ago I was 21. And I look in the mirror today and don't recognize the face that looks back and say, up here, I'm still 21. And I want to say, where has that time gone? And then I look and see how many years I've been a Salvation Army officer. And I say, okay, so 37, 38 years. Where am I going to be in 38 years' time? Don't go there. No. That's how brief our life is. So we need to be responding to God, his words of comfort, his words of hope, his gentleness. We need to be the people of God who give those same words to each other. Listen, friends, if you and I look for the weaknesses and the failures in each other, we will definitely find them. But you never change anybody by hitting them over the head with a stick. It's love that changes people. You know that story about of the sun and the wind having a competition, and there was a guy journeying and he had his cloak, and the wind said, I'm sure I can get that cloak off his back before you could. And so the sun said, you go first. And the harder the wind blew and the more the rain fell, the man pulled the cloak to him on his journey. And at the end of it, the wind said, I'll give up. Now your turn. And the sun came out and gently warmed the atmosphere. And before long, the man took his cloak off and folded it up. We gain more by showing love to each other than we do by criticizing and finding fault with each other. You see, these words of God remind us that above all, our God is a shepherd. Closing verse says, he tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and he carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This morning, on this fourth Sunday in Advent, do you and I need to hear the words of God that bring comfort? Do we need to hear the words of God that remind us that he can transform this place where we are and make the rugged places smooth, the mountains low and the valleys rise? Do we need to be those people of God who cry out his message, in the generation in which we live. That despite what people are going through, there is hope. That God will come with good news. Like a shepherd, people can be carried, supported, loved and encouraged. It's Jesus who said he was the good shepherd. And his words were, my sheep hear my voice and they follow. Hear the voice of the Lord this morning. Respond to his words of comfort and hope this Christmas time. Allow his blessing to rest upon you. We're going to watch and listen. A lovely song being sung for us. Light of the World. Sung by Lauren Darrell. I'm sure as you listen and respond, if you wish to use this place of prayer, we'd invite you simply to come. If you come with something in your hand, no one will disturb you. If not, someone will come and ask you if you'd like prayer. So let's listen and respond to God this morning. Thank you. shall we? The world waits for a miracle. People are looking for hope. Father God, we want to thank you that you are the light of the world, and that in Jesus that light has come into the world to bring hope, to bring love, to bring peace, to transform lives, to prepare us to meet you again. Pray, Father God, that we each as individuals will receive your words of comfort and healing each day. And Father God, you will make straight the road that we each have to walk, individually and together. And Father God, we might help each other upon this journey. We look forward to, Father God, the day when you come again to gather us, to take us home, to be with you forever. And as we wait for that day when you come again, keep us faithful and prayerful, people who are willing to engage with family, friends and neighbours, and pointing people to Jesus, the hope of the world. We thank you, Lord, this morning. Bless us, I pray, and keep us safe until we're able to share again this way. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We're going to conclude this morning by singing song number 113 in the songbook. Joy to the world, the Lord is come. Let's enjoy singing this lovely carol together. I invite you to stand before we share the final blessing this morning. Thank you. Are you okay, Matthew? You survived. Good lad. Do we have the
up nice and can you see that? Right. As you hold these M&Ms in your hand and turn them, you will see the M becomes a W, an E, and then a 3. They tell the Christmas story. It's one I'm sure you know. It took place in a stable a long time ago. Right. And trust me with your sweets. I'm not going to eat them.
The E is for the east, where the stars shone oh so bright. The M is for the manger, where the baby slept that night. The 3 is for the wise men, bearing gifts they say they came. The W is for worship. Hallelujah. I can't say it. Hallelujah. I can't say it.
Everybody else say it.
Hallelujah. Praise to his name.
I'll let you have the sweets back now. So as you eat these M&Ms or share them with a friend, remember the spirit of Christmas and never let it end.
Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
And Matthew has, if anybody would like to take some M&Ms home with, I've taken the peanut ones out. Okay, but there's some M&Ms, so if you come and see Matthew at the end, he might like to share them, just like the wise men shared their gifts. Yeah, okay, you take that, you can go and sit down now. Give him a round of applause, thank you.
Friends, do be careful over the coming weeks. If you need us, please phone. If we don't answer the phone, leave a message. And I promise you we will get back to you as soon as we are able. And in closing this morning, I ask that God will give you hope, keep you safe, and fill you with peace so you believe in Jesus Christ, our Lord and Saviour. And may the Holy Spirit give you power, both now and forevermore. Amen. Amen. Good morning, and God bless you.